The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Let me just find it.
Wow, we're really having a day. Queen Victoria is fucking with us, isn't she?
Boy, yeah. Queen Victoria does not like Footy Prime at all. Mm-mm. Wow.
You know,
we shot for the listeners on a holiday, a long weekend, mm-hmm. and we had to go through this struggle to get started. But here we are.
Hey, you know what's fun, though? Prime. You know what's fun, Sharms? Wednesday, Tom Harrington is going to come on our show.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Tom is a legend of the Canadian broadcast world. Enjoying retirement these days, but has a ton of thoughts on, I imagine, on sports media, but also on our favorite sport as well, snooker. No, joking. Maybe, and I don't know, maybe Tom's a big snooker fan, but he's a huge soccer fan,
yeah,
friend of the sport in this country, and loves a certain Liverpool FC, which is not why he's on, but certainly didn't hurt. That's for sure. So Tom's going to join us on Wednesday. We've got a broadcast this week as well. Mm-hmm. And who knows what else is one of those weeks.
Yeah, we're also going to be putting out a question for everyone. If you want to ask Footy Prime team members a question, we need content for our Digital Day podcast, which is happening on Thursday, May 21st, down at Stacked Market with the Ad Club. So congratulations, Ad Club, for having us on. And now we have something to tell them that we promoted. How about that?
John, it's Craigers Market. It's Craig's Market. Stacks Market.
It is. And it's just around the corner from him. He'll wander in 3 minutes before recording with his Puma tracksuit full.
That's right. Confuse it with the Wendy's, but he'll be there, so it'll be good.
Can I have a bacon double cheese?
Dave's double.
And a frosty.
BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada, and it presents Footy Prime as well. That's Thursday is our Ad Club day, so we may record that podcast, correct, and air it at a later date. That's the plan, but you know how these things technologically sometimes cause issues for us.
Yeah, because the plan is always to air it. It just doesn't always make it to air.
We've lost so much great content.
I know.
I don't know about that. I think we've missed really average content sometimes too.
We may have actually saved ourselves from cancellation. Actually, some of those shows got a little off the rails, and thank Christ they never went to air. But I don't think Thursday will be quite as rogue because there'll be an audience there to listen. Our very important people who one day can make us all very rich.
Yes,
but that's Thursday. But yeah, bottom line is a full week of shows. Craig's here today. Dubs is here. Wonga, I'm Shams. JC's got the edits. Jimmy, we don't know where Jimmy is. Didn't tell us where he is.
Who Family knows? Day.
You might show up at some point.
Gallivanting with the Queen, clearly.
Yeah, yeah. He must
celebrating
be.
Celebrating Queen Victoria.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Fireworks, the works, everything.
I'm assuming he's having a good time wherever he is. And I hope you are too. I hope your long weekend is treating you well. We've got lots to get to today, but not a particularly long podcast. So I want to start with our World Cup big question, okay? Because it's a good one. And it can take us in various directions here as well. Okay, so Dubs, take it away.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ring, ring, what's that sound? It's a big question that needs answer. Ring.
What was the question again?
You know, this start to the show is so much better than the last start to the show, which we lost, thank Christ.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wonger's enthusiasm is awesome.
It always is awesome.
I love that song for some reason.
Yeah.
Once again, it's spiteful of me because Dubs is such a horrible singer.
Yeah.
But it's got a bit of it's kind of like one of those pop 80s pop songs, one hit wonders, right? There were so many of them in the 80s.
Bugles.
Like, yeah, like what's the matter, you? Hey, gotta no respect, Joe Dolce.
It's really not where I was going, but okay.
There was a Pac-Man song, remember? There was what else? The Streak from the 70s, Gregor. Remember? Oh, yeah, they call him the streak. Boogity, boogity.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
These are one-hit wonders.
Okay. What's happening?
Walker knows all this shit.
Walker's jealous he's not on the jingle. I think that's what's happening here.
I am. I produced it. I wrote it. I sang it.
I want the royalties.
It feels way more bluegrass to me. So that would never, ever be a hit. For numerous reasons. Yeah. But hey, who knows? Who knows? Let's release it and find out. But you know, Wongo, we do appreciate your enthusiasm in the dance. And that's why, you know, I think at some point in the coming weeks and months, the podcast is going to all video as well.
Right.
We hear this. Yeah. This is part of the technology and how it's changing every day. So this might be available, the whole podcast, via video as well, which is, now I think about it, terrifying.
We apologize in advance.
Yeah. I would have to get some better lighting than my current set up today, where I'm actually at another place, not my usual studio. But anyway, that's not important for those listening.
You're the ghost of Christmas past.
He does.
All right, today's big question for the World Cup, really big question, is who will be a Canadian household name this summer? Now, before we get to your answers here, I want to know, has there ever been a household name?
No, let's give it
household name.
Let's give it a little context. Dubs threw out, I think Sharms wrote the question. Dubs threw it out earlier today, so earlier before the recording. And Craiger said what, Craig?
In Canada or worldwide?
And then Dubs thought he was taking the piss. And I thought the exact same thing. And then I was driving. Sharms said.
I said Canada, within Canada. I totally got what Craig was saying.
Yeah. So the point is, we don't have a household name for soccer in Canada. Is that fair to say?
Well, okay. So what is a household name? This is that you can knock on any house, any apartment, any condo, any tent under the Garden Expressway and ask them, name one Canadian soccer player. And every household, or let's say 90% of households, would have a name that they know who it is. Can I be the
same? I'm not sure. I'm not sure we do.
No.
I don't think we do.
Fonzie's the closest thing we have. Jonathan David? Close, but not household names.
No.
Can I throw one out here for you? I think if we've ever had one, and I'm not just saying this because he's our friend, he's our brother, but I think Craig Forrest's name carried more weight than perhaps anyone has. And a big part of that is because, I know you won't agree, Craig, but you weren't here when you were playing in England. People knew who Craig Forrest was.
Mm-hmm.
apart from Wonga. Apparently. When Wonga met Craig at Sportsnet. And you are? Oh, and
why are you sitting near me all of a sudden?
Who's the guy with the orange face who looks like an Oompa Loompa? Remember you fixed him with his pancake makeup?
That was 99% of all Sportsnet people. Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
No, but it's true, though, simply because the Premier League does carry a lot more gravitas around the world, right? For whatever reason, whether you like it or you loathe it, it doesn't matter. It's bigger than the Bundesliga just because the marketing engine behind it. And even back in the 90s, and some people will say it was the glory days of the Premier League when it first kind of launched.
Yeah.
It got a lot of exposure. And Craig being one of the first, I think the only foreigner out of the first, one of 13 foreigners, I think it was, to start the Premier League. Wasn't it 13, Craig?
Yeah, 12 or 13. Yeah.
Yeah. And Craig was one of them. And you did carry a lot of weight over here sports wise. So I'm not just saying that because you're on me.
No.
So I think maybe that is a way to start this conversation.
I think that's fair, but I think that the household name was what caught us, right? Because a household name would be like everyone knows Justin Trudeau, whether they hated him or loved him. That was a household name. The two biggest soccer names of all time on the female side is Christine Sinclair.
Great.
And Craig Forrest on the male side. I would agree with you. Either one, I'm not sure, would be household names.
What do you think Christine is?
I think Sinky is.
She's everywhere. We can't put TV on without seeing Sinky somewhere.
And she made it because of Olympics, which Canada gets behind, right? Olympic soccer for men isn't the scene as the same level as Olympic soccer for women.
As U23.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, and Canada loves its Olympics. We see that. I think what was 4.8 million? I still remember that number from who watched the 2020 match, right? The 2020 games. The gold
but more
match.
So than that, it's the 2012 London Olympics and the narratives around that.
Right.
And Christine talking shit about the referee. She thought the referee thought that Christine called her a whore. Like it, that got blown up. Everybody got behind Canada.
Wait a second. They felt I never knew this.
Yes. Yeah, Christine said something as a throwaway line. I can't remember what it was verbatim, but it was just something like, you know, that was bullshit or something like that, that Sink would say. And then it was misconstrued and they had to kind of talk it down or else she would have been fined and suspended. And it was all resolved, but it was more the narrative around that semifinal, the 6 second call on Erin McLeod, the way that Canada got done dirty, and then everybody rallying behind this team that then went on to win the bronze medal with Dee's goal. And then, and Dee has talked about this, Rian has spoken about this, that whole bronze medal winning team has spoken about toiling in obscurity, much the way my career was. And then winning the bronze medal, and all of a sudden there were people, Desi Scott has talked about this, there were people meeting them at the airport. There were like, they were known. And so I think Sinky, it's that moment plus the gold, plus her professional career, plus the all-time goals record. There's a persistence and like a doggedness of moving her way into the zeitgeist and remaining there and carving out a space for herself so that she is widely known, whether it's men's sports, women's sports, sporting, cultural zeitgeist. Christine is there and she's like on that mantle. You know, would she be on like the Mount Rushmore of sports? Like probably not, because there's a lot of, you know, elbows up and space to be made up there with the hockey heroes in Canada and the big moments that we've had, but she is up there, I think, regardless of sport or anything else in Canada.
I'm just thinking about that conversation Sharms had with a guy who said, I'm a hockey guy, who wasn't even a hockey guy. But I keep thinking that there are so many people, first of all, who don't watch sports. Secondly, to call someone a household name. Now, if we're going to, and this is the criteria, I think criteria for us is very important because it allows us to then be honest with where we stand, especially because we live in a bubble of whose names are famous and all that, just because we love sports, right? So I think we have to say household name for people who watch sports.
So not someone that transcends the sport.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay.
You make up a good point, Dubs, about Christine Sinclair as well. And going back to 2002, the under 19 now,
yes,
right? The World Cup back then, that was one of the biggest moments, certainly from Sportsnet's point of view, that were airing that competition. It was their largest audience for years. Mm-hmm. There's over a million for that final one.
No, it wasn't, but it was close. It was 850,000.
Okay.
Yeah. But they started saying it was a million. But I remember the number because I was there in the marketing department.
You couldn't have just let that one go.
No,
right?
No, no. I couldn't.
Okay.
Yeah. She also had the, I know it didn't work out on the pitch, but she also had the vehicle of the 2015 Home World Cup as well. Damn. Used her name as well, which I know didn't work out for them. But building up to that tournament, she was everywhere again. And she's the only Canadian soccer player who's ever been in a conversation for being a GOAT. The only one.
Yeah.
There's no men's player who's even in that conversation.
That's fair.
Yeah. Right.
We could argue that she's not a big enough household name worldwide as she should be.
Right.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we've talked about how her personality, if it was more outgoing, if she would have been more accepting of understanding how she could push the narrative of the superstardom and how it attached itself to her name. If she had been more bought into that, then maybe there'd be an argument for her being a household name worldwide. But I think in the Canadian women's soccer kind of world, she is known. You know, you have smaller nations, bigger nations, past, present, like she is up there. And I just wanted to clarify, after the 2012 semifinal, She encountered the Norwegian referee on the way to the team bus, and she told the official, this is very sinky, you were fucking horrible, like, or you were effing horrible. And the referee filed a, exactly, complaint with FIFA claiming that Sinclair had called her an effing whore. It was the horrible.
It's clever. If she didn't mean it.
Well, she, no. Knowing Sinky, she did, yeah, she did. There was nothing that was calculated or premeditated about that.
Yeah.
I think as a referee, I'd rather be called a whore, though, than horrible.
Oh, no. No, come on.
Can't spell horrible without the whore.
Yeah. You can.
But I guess you can.
You missed horrible with a W. That's the only way.
Charms. Really. I was just playing the game here.
But it's a good conversation, right?
Yeah.
Because she is. I mean, there's no one else within Canadian. I mean, let's go outside soccer circles globally, outside of hockey players. No one knows, with respect to Wayne Gretzky, I can guarantee you a large percentage of the world have no idea who he is.
Yeah. Or Connor McDavid.
I remember when Spurs gave him a shirt. He was over in London and they spelt his name wrong. He's holding up the shirt and his name's spelt wrong.
Maybe they were just taking the piss for the FIFA draw.
Yeah, exactly.
They knew it.
Oh, no, that was a few years. It was a few years.
I'm just kidding.
But Christian Sinclair is bigger globally than the biggest hockey player.
Yeah.
Can we agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Mm, no.
Really?
You don't agree?
See, I think so.
No.
I do.
No. Not yet.
Okay. Defend yourself.
I think the lore will build, but hockey, Gretzky still has flavor with people. People still know who Gretzky is. Yes, they do.
They don't.
Because he's seen as the GOAT.
There's five people in South America I've ever heard of him. Maybe three in Africa. In Asia, two.
Most of Europe.
It's only because he's the GOAT, not because it's because he was put, he's in front of Sports Illustrated, whether those Sports Illustrated were from the 90s or the 80s, he was seen across the table as the best hockey player. So if you're talking about, and I'm just being fair to the question, is if we're calling household names, there's more Gretzky than Sinclair's for household names worldwide.
I think it's really debatable. I know what you're saying. Within hockey playing countries, yes, of course. But there aren't many hockey playing countries.
I'm telling you that I don't think Christine Sinclair's name resonates with, because women's football has only claimed kind of recognition over the last 8 years, let's say, the growth of it. And so she's been kind of on, that was the back end of her career. So I'm saying that if we're going to just put things apples to apples, I think that would be, still think it's a Gretzky. Just because of all, he's 50, he's been in the limelight for 50 years. Mm-hmm. Cross platform, all of that kind of stuff. At the World Cup draw. They know who he is now. Good old Caracas. Good old
social media was hilarious during that, because the football zeitgeist and echo chamber that we follow.
So they didn't know who he was. Saying.
They were joking. Yes. Who's this guy?
Yes, yeah, remember it. And now they know who he is.
Come from Europe. Say, who the hell is this guy? The guy that can't read.
Right. Yeah. So now they know who he is. My point exactly.
Now they know who he is. Maybe
exactly.
Your infamy. He's more notorious than famous.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Wayne Gretzky hat trick.
Oh, that was so funny.
North Macadamian, Krakow, and Jordan. I thought Jordan, when he pulled out Jordan, I go, there's a nice easy one. Jordan.
There's a softball for you, Wayne. Nope.
Nope.
anyway, it's a tap-in.
Back to the household name. Okay, so back to the actual World Cup question. Let's define this as within sporting households.
Yeah.
Okay, the little house down the street where they see where they paint. Like, there's no reason why artists can't also like sports. There's no reason. But they don't watch sports necessarily. They'd rather have their easels out drawing landscapes than watching the World Cup, for example, right? They don't count. Okay? And nor should they. So
why are you alienating instead of including
all artists, apparently? I don't know why. I got nothing against artists whatsoever. I love an oil painting myself. But people that watch sports and will gravitate towards the World Cup, whether they are football fans or not. that will watch the World Cup because it's a World Cup. Who out of the Canadian players will emerge as the most well-known player by the end of this tournament? That is the question, okay? The big question. All right, Dubs, let's start with you. Who's it going to be?
Well, I just want to frame it with, I love the fact that all of these big questions with you, Sharms, have come up with them. And I love the format, and it's kind of spurred on really good conversation. But I love the fact that we're really diving deep into the nature of the question. Like, what does this mean exactly? I feel like it opens it up to a lot more people to kind of throw their hat in the ring and say, well, hang on a minute. I think it's defined like this, and therefore that changes my answer. So I'm happy that we established that baseline over the last 20 minutes or so. But oh, I gotta go now.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
I know, I got a twin's birthday party to cook for here. Yeah, so I'm thinking of that casual fan, you know, maybe somebody who's not tuning in and they don't already know who these players are. Somebody who's likely to become known and make a splash by way of their play, and who's going to be a really important difference maker for Canada, is Ismael Kone. I think he goes from this unknown quantity, this really youthful upstart prior to Qatar, makes his mark. And over the course, like the beginning of Jesse Marsh's reign, those important matches, those important litmus tests versus the Dutch and the French, and then his move from Watford to Marseille is almost off the back of that game versus France, where he does so well, gives good account of himself. And then obviously the trials and tribulations since, the really low ebbs, the high highs in, say, Copa America, where he was Canada's arguably their best player. I think Jonathan David needs to be Canada's best player. He needs to find the net, but the driving force for success for Canada at this tournament could be and should be Ismael Kone. And I think that the sexy kind of scintillating dynamic capabilities that he has on the ball is going to get people up out of their seats. They're going to look and say, who is that player? Who is that on the ball? He has that ability to really draw people in, whether you're a pundit, somebody who's followed the games across different eras, you've followed Canada at different World Cups, or you're just a fan of the game and interested in it, or somebody who's just flicking on the TV and seeing these highlights. Like the way that he can drive space, the way that he can turn, the way that his game has become more nuanced and more complete. Like he's more disciplined now, more tactical acumen, more responsibility. Especially when this team is out of possession, we know how important it is for Canada's success that they're, together in their shape and they're pressing, they're organized. I think he has the engine to do all that and to be the spark and the bright light for this team. So I hope that it's Kone, and I really want it to be Kone.
Yeah, don't you get the feeling that he's the guy that has that breathtaking moment in his arsenal? And that he might be the guy that does something really wondrous that's going to make the World Cup highlight reel at the end of the campaign, right? He's going to be the James Rodriguez from 35 yards out, or the Diego Maradona from inside the fucking box and breaking the hearts of 55 million Englishmen. that kind of stuff. Something like, what? What happened? Yeah. Where did that come from? He's the guy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you think about, like, that's why I thought about Copa America, where this team, I think, came to the fore and drew in the attention of people who understand the game. And they were like, they stood up and took notice of this team, but of the individuals that were making it tick. And a really important part of that was Kone on like that bicycle kick from the corner kick off of the looping header. And it's slightly unorthodox, but it still works. And I feel like that sums up who Kone is, and like the ice in his veins finish to win on pens. You know, like he has a lot of growing and a lot of maturity, I think, still to do, both in refining his game on a technical side, but especially personality and character. But he's getting there. He's got the trust, the confidence of his coach. I think he's ready to take that next step.
Mm. I think he might become my favorite player.
That. He's got the potential to do that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a guy that, you know, a year ago, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know, I mean, I don't know him now, but I you know, all I'd read about him was his prodigious talent, but a bit of baggage.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a tough guy to manage. That was the kind of the reputation. Mm-hmm. And it's been flipped on his head the last year or so. And I had the chance to sit in on a couple of interviews with him in the last window. And what a thoughtful, smart, likable character.
Yeah.
He is. And his teammates love him for that. And he's not only that, but he's backing it up with this incredible season at Sassuolo, which might be the launch pad for something even bigger. So I think he's become my favorite player and the guy that I want to see be that guy.
He's become your favorite player.
I think so. I mean, there's so many players in that team, that squad.
I know, they're so
really likable guys.
Right? Yeah, and we've had a chance to talk to a lot of them to actually feel like we know them, and it cements how we go, hey, he's a good guy. And then he comes on the show and he's a really fucking good guy, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, Jesus.
This and is they're great. Funny and they're interesting and they're magnetic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They're too nice, this team. They won't ever go anywhere. They're too nice. That'd be the new argument about them, right? Ah, no, I haven't got that.
Too nice.
No, they got the edge. That's why we like them so much. They had that edge. Mm-hmm. So that's a good one. I like Ishmael Kane. Craig, who do you have?
Yeah, plenty of our players certainly have the edge. And the one I'm going to pick is one that definitely has the edge in club football and international football, and that's Alistair Johnson. Thank goodness he's back to full health. He gets playing time, plays the last game against Hearts for Celtic. Dramatic game. They end up winning the title. Felt bad for Hearts, but I felt really good for Alistair because he's such a good guy. And I think we talked about personalities and with Christine Sinclair and various others that have it and are good at it as far as exposure for themselves and the sport. And I think Alistair's got that. He's got everything that we talk about to be a household name. And that's his personality will go an awful long way. And his leadership abilities on the team, his ability to get stuck in. You talk about toughness. He's got that. And with spades, just absolutely the delight to coach, I would imagine, too. He's a terrific professional in every aspect. So he's, for me, the one that has potential, I think, to be that household name. And not only just his playing style, but his actual personality will resonate through Canada.
It's a good 100%. One.
Yeah, and because of his Celtic connections, the British media are going to pay attention a little bit.
Yeah.
As well, which is a driving force in these tournaments as far as getting their, you know, brand out there and making the world aware of who they are.
Going back to both what Dubs was talking about with Christine Sinclair and what Craig just said, he knows how to play the game and he's not shy about it.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah. And so, you know, the first time we met him, Craig and I were down at the field that we were, me, you, Jimmy, and Sharms were all down there. Craig, I remember, and he was out and I was just chatting with Alistair and he was like, I'd love to come on your podcast. And all of a sudden he's on our podcast. I wasn't there for that one. I missed it, but I know he missed it.
Yeah, he said specifically.
Where's that Hugger guy? But when I watched it, I went, this guy understands what he's doing. He understands what he's saying. Back to one of our most famous quotes, a Jesse Marsh quoted by Alistair Johnson, then quoted by, on Footy Prime, is, fuck it, we're Canadian. And we're going to make a t-shirt.
Fuck it, we're Canada.
Yeah. Fuck it, we're Canada. Right, thank you.
It's okay, you weren't there.
No, I wasn't. But it's interesting that type of personality can gain so much momentum in the old sweepstakes of hey, who's familiar in Canadian households.
Yeah, what I like about Alistair though is what you're saying, he's playing the game as it were, but there's nothing about the way that he conducts himself on or off the pitch that seems disingenuous or overly calculated. He's very authentic and like, this is me. And I get the impression too that when his buddies see him co-hosting Sports Center or see him on a soundbite, they're not just like, oh, fucking Alistair, here he goes again, you know? And nobody calls him AJ, by the way, Sharms, it's Allie.
I do.
There we go, Allie again, you know? I think at Celtic, he's AJ, but I think a lot of his Canadian team or his teammates call him Allie. But that's part of it, like the larger narrative, whether it's Kone, whether it's John David, who is a little bit quieter, more reserved. We know this as a leader, but also just his own personality, or Alistair. They're very much kind of Canadian kids and they have an appeal in the way that they play that could make them likable and stretch them beyond just the soccer kind of landscape. and get them out there, whether it's through sponsorship or, you know, that crossover, like a Steve Nash, right? He is just known. Like, I know basketball is maybe has a wider reach globally, but Steve Nash is known both because of, I think, the family, like the legacy there, but then also how successful he was in the US. And he's just continually talked about it when you talk about Canadian sports. And I think a lot of these guys, Forrest, you mentioned it with the Home World Cup and the way that Sinkey was able to leverage that, even if it was accidental, there wasn't really a lot of foresight in it. She has those kind of touch points, those reference points over the course of her career where people are like, oh, I remember where I was when mm-hmm. she scored that goal and she was wearing the face mask in that World Cup, or I remember where she was, where she got the winner against China here and she scored the hat trick versus the US and they won the gold medal. Like, I think hopefully in this World Cup, whether it's Kone, whether it's Alistair or John David or somebody else or Alphonso Davies, that people are like, oh yeah, I was in that pub or I was at my house on my easel painting the landscape and I had the game in the background, right? Like, whether you're an artist or a sports fan, that you're going to remember where you were when these pivotal moments happen.
They won't be. That the easel people won't be. They have no idea. But you know what? One thing counting against him is that he's a fullback and there aren't too many fullbacks that become household names outside of the Roberto Carlos's, who from set pieces are
usually goal scorers. Yeah,
right. There aren't Maldini. Okay, they're the top level, but there's a chance he plays centre back. There's a chance he plays left back as well. Actually, not right back. He's done it before and played very well, depending on the injury situation. But I think Jesse Marsh would trust him playing in as centre back, and it may be out of Christ. Luke de Vaugirard had a concussion this weekend. Yep. Jamal Miller's done his hammy. So, you know, we've the litany of injuries at that position keep increasing. So who knows?
Suiting up for Canada, Jimmy Brennan, if he shows up.
Didn't check his email.
No.
But I think Johnson, he's gonna be one of the mouthpieces for Canada, right? That's the guy you want in front of the cameras a lot because, you know, he's not going to embarrass you. He's going to give you a thoughtful answer and just be very, very articulate.
And at the same time, they're going to need results and wins for this all to happen.
Of course.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
They could be household names for the wrong reason. Right?
Quite honestly, Craig, and you know this, it takes one howler from a goalkeeper for Canada not to progress. And guess what? There's your household name.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. Or a tragic own goal, right? You don't want it to be that way. Yeah.
You don't.
I mean, we're still talking about Baggio how many years later, right?
Seriously. Like his career. And what he did, one of the all-time greats, and a lot of people who aren't really football fans still know the name.
Household name, Baggio. Why?
Yep.
Infamy.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
The ponytail didn't help, let's be honest.
He still has it.
Yeah. It's much grayer, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Wonga, who do you have as your
household? Mine was, it was based off of marketing, and it was like, I was going, well, Bobito. That's a great soccer name. Eustachio, really good soccer name. And I thought also if he's back with his from his injury, which he's supposed to be, he's making great, like supposedly going to be like all fit back for the World Cup. But then Dubs threw out a name and I think that his one name, you know how we were talking about, you can have one name and people know who you are. It's Tejan. Tejan Buchanan. Yeah. Tejan is... And he's got the look. He's got the good fro, right? He does a flip after scoring. If he pots a couple or has a couple crosses to John David that are, you know, that John David is able to put through, yes, John David's going to be up there, but I think it's Tejan. Tejan's got something that he's got a swagger about him.
And next factor, isn't
there? Yeah, and I appreciate that. So my choice for... And his, you know, his European career is going well. So I think it's Tejan Buchanan.
He could also headbutt someone.
He could. He could also be notorious too.
Definitely in his toolbox.
Yeah, he has that. I like that.
I like it too. He does play with that snarly edge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does go too far though. You know, Richie does it and he's on the line. Tejan sometimes will cross the line and that's been caught out in the past.
Well, he has done recently, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like two matches ago, three matches ago. Yeah.
That's right. Red mist. He's capable.
Yeah. He could definitely be a guy that you're seeing in the highlight reels for various reasons. But hopefully, it's for a goal, cutting in from the right hand side and sticking it in the far left. Yeah, we'll have some of that.
Discipline is going to be a massive thing, massive. And I think they got away with some stuff in CONCACAF with CONCACAF referees that they won't necessarily get away with.
That's interesting. That's good, Craig.
I'm sure you guys are doing the same, but you're reading all these World Cup previews. And I always read the Canadian previews, especially because I'm curious how other parts of the world look at this team.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And when you look at weaknesses, it's always two things. It's goal scoring and it's discipline.
Mm.
So they know, people know by the reaction of our kind of legacy or our past games that we're on the edge all the time. I bet you they talk about Larea Buchanan too. They name
them. Oh, yeah. They like
chaos. A large part of this on the planet will think that Canada's here. Yeah, they qualify for 22, but they're here because they're hosting it. Zlatan, I don't know if you saw Zlatan's, he was doing something where he was like, oh, France, winners of the World Cup. Argentina, winners of the World Cup. Brazil, winner. Like, I guess he was voicing over all these potential possibilities. You had Canada hosting the World Cup.
Where's the respect?
We haven't got a lot of respect. No,
got to earn it.
And you know what? We have to deserve. We need to perform in a way that gives people that, you know, hey, Canada should be respected. So, players got all that pressure.
9-0 versus Qatar.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Best case scenario, Canada becomes the Morocco of this World Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be
right? A team that kind of comes out of nowhere and actually a really good, solid team.
Yeah. That would be a good example of what we're potential of. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick out, it's an obvious one, and it's for Canada to become that and to progress, they've got to score goals. And that means John David has to score goals. He has to. I don't think you can rely on anyone else. Kyle's playing well, and I suspect Kyle's going to start that first game up top, but it has to be John David. And he's got a big enough brand that it won't take much for the world to take notice, certainly within Canada. And he scores that first win, if we get it in this World Cup, Canada's first ever World Cup win. Who scores that winner? It's going to get a lot of press, I think. And chances are it's going to be John David because there isn't much else in that team in the way of goals.
Their name will be on the 44th version of Trivial Pursuit. Right, the sports. Yeah. I'll take sports, please. Yeah.
Orange, please. Oh,
I need the sports pie. Well, you need to know who scored Canada's goal.
That's right.
Okay. Listen, I know Dubs has to run, so we should probably call it. It's a long weekend.
Twins' birthday is come and go.
What else did what massive? We mentioned the injuries to Canada. Of course, we did that. We mentioned Celtic with the championship. Of course. There's some handball calls, some VAR stuff we can get to maybe later in the week. Mo Salah goes out swinging, whether you like that or not. Maybe get to that at some point. The TFC story, so many injuries, another loss. Montreal lose. Vancouver, struggling.
And we're going to have Asa on to catch us up on all the details that they don't talk about in the media, and he'll let us know what we're missing out here, because one thing about living on the east side of Canada, I don't want to say east coast because people get upset by that, but the east side of Canada, we do miss out on a lot of what's going, you know, the zeitgeist, the conversation in BC, and it seems like they're putting all the right people together, but that doesn't mean shit when you've got billionaires ready to make as much money as they can in as small time as they can. So unfortunately we live in a system now that is not, especially on the North American side. So any of our European friends who are listening, you are so lucky to have the pyramid.
Yeah.
They really are.
Not with that, but
yeah.
Can I say one more thing? I recognize we're leaving early for my benefit, but just to put a bow on that conversation about the household name, I think it's really important both for Canada to make a deep run, which is one of our previous World Cup big question, but it's that the brand, the identity, the DNA of this Canadian side is known. And that is sort of pervasive across all of these lines and within all of these silos and these spheres in Canada. So that you have the success, our eyes are wide open as it pertains to the discipline, that teams might try to target us that way. But that if we stray too far away from that, I don't think we'll have success. So we have to be high tempo. We have to be aggressive. We have to toe that line. And then it might mean that occasionally, you know, you get a red card or like somebody gets a booking and you have to rely on your bench. We know because of the injuries that depth has been affected. But you have to really lean in to what has brought us success. And I know, Sharms, you were like, well, what success have we had? Well, we've had success playing this type of football, this brand of football, this philosophy. And if we're going to have any success at this World Cup, then this team has to work together and play this brand of football. And if we don't do that, and that includes towing the line and maybe edging into being undisciplined, but we have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember Copa America, how Schaffenberg became really popular in the Canadian sports world for those appearances and his the maritime Messi, those runs, the tenacity. People freaking loved him. That's an example of a guy that became, I won't call a household name during Copa, but within the soccer community, his level of household namemanship elevated dramatically.
Yeah,
it really did, right? Yes, just from those tenacious performances. That's how Canadian boys play. That's how we do it. Right?
Yeah, the blue collar aspect to this Canadian team. Yes, we have to lean into that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Getting close, exciting, isn't it? Injuries aside, you know, all the bullshit, all the noise around the World Cups, and there's so much noise around this World Cup, and there's plenty to dislike about this World Cup. Once the games kick off, the football always takes over, and we forget about the crap.
There's some really amazing stories. There really are. And we're going to hear more about that when the games start to play. I was watching a feature on Iraq and their coach, Australian guy, just the whole story about him getting the job and the enjoyment of that job being coaching of a country that hadn't qualified for, 40 years or something like that. So, yeah, wonderful stories.
Just takes Arsenal's like us to stop talking about that.
Ring, ring, what's that sound? Big question that needs answering.
I think it's a subtle hint. Yeah, we've got to go.
I was like, I did not play that.
Longer loves it.
It is great. That is Three Prime for this Holiday Monday. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you appreciate us taking time away from our families.
Yeah.
Holiday Monday, damn it.
From our family.
Look how good we are, listeners.
My kids are up in Marco. Just so everyone knows, Sharms is at the Pi studio. Dubs is the only one who's really doing family. Craig's alone downtown. So the three men in this podcast are alone in their spaces.
Let's hope that Jimmy's having a nice family day.
Yes, to make up for it.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. All right, everyone. Till next time. Bye-bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.